What a joy it is to be in the house of the Lord, worshiping and praising the Almighty God with all of you. Are you happy to be in church this Sunday morning? I know it was a little crisp and a little cool out there today, but it was a little crisp and a little cool in the sanctuary today as well. But I'm glad for our worship team. I'm grateful for them while they play and sing. It gets us moving around, gets the blood flowing, and gets us all warmed up. I'm excited to be in the house of the Lord with all of you today. We have some special, well, at least I know of one special guest joining us today here in the sanctuary. We have, for the very first time in a church service, Jeremiah and Lexi's little baby girl, Oakland Lee, is with us worshiping. I think she's in here. Is she in the back? Where's she at, Lexi? Is she asleep or in the nursery? She's getting her diaper changed. Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, we are grateful that little Oakland Lee is joining us for her very first church service today. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited about all of you being here as well. What a joy, what a privilege, what an honor it is to be in the house of the Lord. Listen, we have a special treat and a special guest. Look, we got a brand new pulpit up there that's never been preached over before. It's brand spanking new. And I couldn't think of anybody on the planet that I would love to honor with the special privilege of being the very first sermon preached off of this pulpit than my dear, precious brother and elder of this church, George Torbert, who's going to come and share the word of God with all of you today. Make him feel welcome to this pulpit this morning.
Come on and bless the Lord with me. Father, we bless your holy name right now. Give me all the honor, all the glory, all the praise. Everything that we say, everything that we do, everything we sing is about you, God. Everything that we say, everything that we do, everything that we sing is all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you, God, from the beginning to the end, God, from the invocation to the benediction, God, from the first note that is played, God, to the last chord, God, that we hear. It's all about you. We gather together in the name of our Lord and Savior. Blessed be your holy name, Jesus. For you alone are worthy, Christ our Lord. For you alone are worthy, Lamb of God. For you alone are worthy, King of kings. For you alone are worthy, mighty God. And we've gathered together, God, to celebrate you today. We want to remind you that we've come together, different people, God, from different places, God, and different backgrounds. And the one thing that we have in common is you, Jesus. We love you, Lord, with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, God. We bless your name today. Lord God, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you for inhabiting our praise, for dwelling within the same. We thank you, God, for your people called by your name, washed by your precious blood, sealed by your spirit, God. And we thank you, God, that when this life is over, Lord, we will be in a place where we can celebrate with you, Father, into eternity, God. But in the meantime, we applaud you. We bless your name today. In the meantime, we exalt you. Well, God, in the meantime, we're practicing praise. We're practicing praise in the meantime. In the meantime, we're practicing praise, God. We're lifting you up in this place today, God. Thank you for this day. This is a day that you've made, Lord, and we rejoice, and we're glad in it. We rejoice in you, God. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. To you be all the glory. To you be all the praise. Forever be praise. Forever be praise. Forever be praise. We love you today, God. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you for this people, God. Thank you for this assembly, God. Thank you for this body. Thank you, God, for this Riverside. Come on, bless the Lord with me. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name, Father. We praise you, God. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you, God. It's just, it's a reflex. It's instinctual, Father. Sometimes when the praise gets to flowing, it's difficult, God. Father, it's difficult for the praise, God, to stop flowing. When the praise gets flowing, God, we love you, God. Bless your name today, God. What a wonderful time of worship today, Father. What a wonderful time of worship. All my life, all of it, God, you have been faithful. All of it, all of it, all of it, all of it. All of my life, you have been so, so good. And with every breath that I'm able, I will sing of your goodness. I will declare your goodness. I will shout your goodness, God. Sometimes when the praise gets to flowing, it's hard to stop it. All my life, God, we bless your name today. And we wait on you, Lord. 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 Maybe somebody else has a hand to raise. Maybe somebody else, Lord God, has a moment, God, a praise left in them. Maybe somebody else, God, wants to spend a few more minutes worshiping you, God. We wait on you. We wait on you. We don't want to slight them, God. We don't want to take away their opportunity, God, to worship their God just for a few more moments. Just for a few more moments.
Every prayer that I am made.
Yes, God.
Oh, I will sing.
With every breath, God.
Of the goodness.
With every breath. God. Everything that is within me, God. Everything. Give it all to you, God.
Because all my life you have been faithful.
All of it, God. All of it.
Because all my life you have been so, so good.
You're a good, good Father.
With every breath that I am able.
Come on, brother. Come on.
Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. Cause all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Amen, amen. And do me a favor. Let's take a moment and offer up a praise worthy of a king. We magnify your holy name. You are the Lord, our God. Our God.
You have
our God.
So
our God is greater.
So good.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Our God.
With every breath that I am able. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. And oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Hallelujah. We honor you in this place, Father. Blessed be your holy name today. We thank you for your people, God. We thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that worshipers live in this house. Worshipers live in this house. Hallelujah. We worship you, God. Hallelujah. In spirit and in truth, God. We get stirred up, fired up, God, when we sing about you. Worshipers live in this house, God. Worshipers live in this house. Worshipers live in this house. Hallelujah. Blessed be your holy name. Rock of ages. Clap for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Blessed be your name. Worshipers live in this house. Worshipers live in this house. Hallelujah. We worship you in spirit and in truth. Blessed be your name today, God. We thank you, God. Fiery worship, God. Hallelujah. We rejoice and we celebrate you today. Hallelujah.
Offer you our God.
Hallelujah.
Offer you.
Thank you, Father. You're pouring out strength right now. You're pouring out strength. You're pouring out strength. I don't know what kind of week say, hey, but you're pouring out strength right now. There's strength flowing out through praise. There's strength flowing out through praise right now. Right now, God. Right now. You inhabit the praises of your people, God. You inhabit the praises of your people. You're pouring out strength right now, right now, right now. Father God, in your presence is fullness of joy. It's fullness of joy. And joy is strength. Joy is strength. Joy is strength. You're pouring out strength right now. Right now, right now, right now.
For you,
I'm loosing burdens right now. I'm buckling baggage right now, right now, right now.
For you, our God,
right now.
It's all for you.
We're letting go. We're letting go, God.
For you, our God. It's all for you.
Even in your presence, God. Even in your presence. Even in your presence. Bible says this. It says that he inhabits the praises of his people. Hallelujah. In your presence is fullness of joy. And the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so when he that sits high, when he comes into this place, and as you're ministering praise to him, he's ministering strength to you. He's ministering strength to you right now, right now, right now. Blessed be your name, God. Blessed be your name. Praise you in this place. We honor you in this place, God. And the blessing, and the blessing, and the blessing is in the obedience. And the blessing, and the blessing, and the blessing is in the obedience. It's in the obedience, Father. 2 Kings chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, verses 1 through 3, and then we're going to skip to verses 9 through 14, and we will conclude with verses 18 through 19. 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Now, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Verse 2. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Verse 3. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And to verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And to verse 10. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. And on to verse 11. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Verse 12. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Verse 13. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Verse 14. Then he went down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. And the blessing is in the obedience. Amen. And the blessing, it's in the obedience. And the blessing is in the obedience. Beginning with 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, and you may be seated, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. Naaman was a man of great power. He was commander of the Syrian army. And because of the many battles that he had fought and won, he was also a man of great prestige. And that prestige won him favor with the king and respect even from his adversaries. So he was a man of great prominence as well. And we know that he was not only a skilled general, but he was also a very competent and capable fighter. The Bible says he was a man of great valor. And so he was not only a accomplished leader, but he was very skilled at combat and quite courageous as well. But this man of power, this man of prestige, and this man of prominence had something hidden underneath his armor. He was a leper. And he was dealing with a ravaging skin disease. A disease that made him unsightly and made him inappropriate for other people's company. A disease that ravaged at him day and night. And really, some theologians they relate leprosy to sin. Sin kind of has that same effect on us. It eats away at us. It kind of gnaws away at us. It devours us. It destroys us. It debilitates us. I find it interesting that some theologians relate his leprosy. They relate leprosy in the Bible to sin. And in verse 2, it says that the Syrians, they went out by bands. They went out by companies. They went out by groups. They went out by detachments. And they conducted these covert missions. And on one such mission, they brought a young lady back from Israel. And here's the thing that I find that's important about this. And one of the things that this verse does not tell us in verse 2 is that we know that when they captured this little girl, we know that they took her away from her family. What we don't know is whatever became of her mother and father. We don't know if they left them mourning and weeping the loss of their daughter in Israel, or if, as good parents do, they defended, attempted to protect their child and lost their lives in the process. We simply don't know what became of her family, which makes verse 3 all the more important. And the young lady said to her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he will recover from his leprosy. There's two things that we discover about this young lady. We discover, first and foremost, that she is confident in the God of her family. That's the very first thing that we discover. We don't know much about her parents. We don't know much about how they raised her, but we know that this young lady snatched away from her family, declaring with confidence that the God of my family, the God of my father, the God of my mother, the God of my grandma, the God of my grandpa, I know that he could recover Naaman from his leprosy. The second thing that we discover about this young lady is that her family raised her to be compassionate, even to her captors. The Bible says this in Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 through 48. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to those that hate you. How about that? And pray for those that despitefully use and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, because he makes his sun to shine on the just and on the unjust. And the rain falls on Republicans and Democrats. Is that all right?
There you go.
There you go. It falls on liberals. It falls on conservatives. It falls on progressives. The rain comes down on the Baptists. It comes down on the Methodists. It comes down on the Jehovah's Witness as well. You find that the same God is good to all. And one of the things that really stirred me in that particular verse was her compassion toward her captors. There's two things that we learn about this young lady. Is that her family instilled in her a confidence in God in all situations, in all circumstances, but they also taught her about the love of God as well. The Bible says this, is that even though she's separated, Mama Gail, from mama and daddy, the great thing about the love of God is that it's never failing. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 8 says that the love of God never fails. You can't turn it off. You can't turn it off. The love of God never fails. The love of God is unceasing. It's unending. And that is a love that we want to cultivate. A love that can't be shut off because of circumstances. A love that can't be shut off because of mistreatment. A love that can't be shut off because people are talking about you. A love that can't be shut off because people are gossiping about you. It's a love that can never be turned off. The love of God never, ever fails. And before we get to verse 9, let's kind of take a journey through the pages. And so word got to Naaman of the young ladies sharing that message about the prophet. And Naaman took that word to his king. And that king in turn sent Naaman to the king of Israel with a reward saying, hey, listen, my dude has leprosy. I want you guys to cure him of his leprosy. The king of Israel saw this as an opportunity to pick a fight with him. He says, am I God that I have the ability to be able to cure a man's leprosy? But here's what Elijah said. Elijah told the king, chillax. There's still a prophet in Israel. Amen. And in spite of how it looks, there's still a man of God in Aberdeen. In spite of how it looks, there's still a man of God in Bel Air. In spite of how it looks, there's still a man of God in Bel Camp. So in spite of how it looks, there's still men of God in California. In spite of how it looks, there you go. In spite of how it looks, is that all right? There's still men of God in Russia. In spite of how it looks, there's still men of God in Syria and Iran and Iraq. In spite of how it looks, in spite of how it looks, in spite of how it looks. Amen. So long as he rules and reigns, so long as he lives on high, his people live on earth, all over the earth, all over the earth, all over the earth. There's still men of God in California. There's still men of God in Russia. There's still men of God in Iran. There's still men of God in Syria and Israel. Chillax. And so Naaman shows up beginning in verse 9. He shows up with his entourage, his posse, his crew, to the man of God's house, and he summons the man of God to come out to him. Tell him Naaman here. And the Bible says that the man of God sent word back out to him. He said, listen, and this is the thing that's important for us, is because sometimes we want to get more caught up on the messenger than the message. And Elijah's like, you don't need to see my face. You need to just get this word. Yeah, you don't need to see what I look like. You need to just get this word. And then sometimes we get too caught up in seeing the messenger and seeing what the messenger looks like and how they perform and how they communicate the word of God. Elijah said, go tell him to dip 7 times in the River Jordan and he shall be clean. And this brings us to the heart of our message. Let the church say, the blessing is in the obedience. The blessing is in the obedience. And the Bible says this, but Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought, I reasoned, I concluded, here's the way I wanted this to work out. I want him to come out to me. I want him to acknowledge me. And here's the thing we need to recognize, is that acknowledgement, insecure people require a steady diet of acknowledgement. He didn't give me my props. He didn't recognize. I'm a man of power. I'm a man of prestige. I'm a man of prominence. I can't believe he didn't even come out here and acknowledge my existence. He sent a word out here. Doesn't he know who I am? Insecure people require a steady diet of acknowledgement. He said, I thought, I reasoned. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's what Proverbs 3:5 says. And lean not to your own understanding. You know, and really most often the most intense battles we fight are the battles of the mind as the children of God. It's not with our co-workers. It's not with our spouses. It's not even with fellow saints. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses beginning in verse 6. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Well, whose strongholds? The strongholds that exist in me. Casting down imaginations. Well, whose imaginations? The imaginations that afflict me. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, because there are going to be occasions where your intellect, your reasoning, your mind is going to challenge the word of God. And when that happens, you have to take the word of God and pull down even what you think. And bring every thought unto obedience of Christ. Every single one. Everyone, you got to train your thinking to think the things of Christ. You got to train your thinking to adapt to the ways that Jesus thinks. The Bible says there's actually a couple of minds, but the mind we want is the mind of Christ. We want Christ's mind on our families. We want Christ's mind on our marriages. We want Christ's mind on our business. We want Christ's mind on our church. We want to adapt his way of thinking. We want to adapt his way of thinking. The Bible says this. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. And then he dissed the place. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus, which happens to be in Syria, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. So why can't I wash in Abana? Why can't I go take a dip in Pharpar? Very simple, very, very simple answer to that question. Because the blessing is in the obedience. The blessing is in the obedience. And this is one of the things that you discover as a children of God. As a little child, I remember that we had a requirement to eat dinner before we could have dessert. And so dinner would be in one place and dessert would be in someplace else. Stay with me, church. The blessing is in the obedience. But what if the dessert was inside the dinner? What if God had in store for you was actually inside of the thing that he was directing you to do? What if the blessing was found within your obedience? What if God was using obedience as a GPS, as a roadmap to navigate you to the things that he wants to bless you with? What if the blessing was actually inside of the obedience? See, because it used to be growing up that I'd have to eat the peas and the carrots to be able to get to the dessert. But what if at the bottom of the peas and carrots was the dessert? The blessing is in the obedience. My life, your life, our lives are a direct reflection at this very moment of our degree of obedience. My life, your life, our lives are a direct result. They are a direct reflection of our degree of obedience. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19 says, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land, church. Our lives directly reflect our degree of obedience. And if God is using obedience to navigate you to the blessings of God. See, I used to eat the peas and carrots to get to the dessert. And I was discovered that the dessert is inside the peas and carrots. The blessing is inside the obedience, church. The blessing is inside of the obedience. Like a roadmap, God is saying, go left, go right, 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 right. It's a GPS. It's a guidance system that will direct you to the things of God, to better things, to greater things, to blessed things. The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. The Bible says, Abraham, when he was called of God to go out into a place where he would later receive a blessing, the Bible says he went out not knowing where he was going. The Bible says, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place that he would after receive as an inheritance. Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place that he would eventually receive as an inheritance, get this, he obeyed. He obeyed. He obeyed because obedience is a demonstration of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says that he obeyed. And he obeyed not knowing where he was going. Simply trusting God's roadmap, simply trusting his GPS, understanding that God was going to take him to things that were greater, things that were higher, to more blessed things. The blessing is inside the obedience. The very thing that's escaping us, the very thing that we want is found within a life of obedience. And here's the thing that challenges us. Remember this, and the guys, I was hanging out with them this past Wednesday in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. I'm going to read this because I don't want to mess this up. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country. Just share with you Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. And from thy kindred, let the church say kindred. That's your family, that's your kinfolk. And from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and you shall be a blessing. Remember, I said that my life, your life, our lives directly reflect our degree of obedience. And we see that Abraham had some success when he left his country and when he left his household, but he brought part of his family with him, didn't he? Brought Lot with him. And it wasn't until there was a conflict that arose that he separated himself from Lot. And what's interesting, and I always tell people that God is always speaking, and his silence speaks volumes. And if God's not speaking, simply go back to the last thing he told you. Go back to the last thing he said. And make sure you've walked that out. Make sure you've lived that out. Make sure you've been obedient, because the blessing is in the obedience. And it's through that conflict that Abraham and Lot parted ways. And God didn't start speaking again until Lot departed. Verse 2 wasn't realized until he completely submitted to verse 1. Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out from thy country, check. And from thy father's house, check. And from thy kindred, unto a land that I will show thee. And it wasn't until he checked off that third requirement that he began to see verse 2 come to pass. And I will make of thee a great nation. None of that began until he fulfilled everything that God directed him to do. And the blessing is in the obedience, church. My life, your life, our lives are a direct reflection of our degree of obedience. And I shared this with Pastor Jason. I got excited about that because I've been at Riverside long enough to know that we are entering into verse 2, Mama Gail. We are entering into the and. We are entering into the and at Riverside. Didn't always understand, didn't always appreciate the conflicts that existed, the struggles that we went through, the trials that we endured. But as I was reading this, the Lord showed me clearly that Riverside is entering into their end. We're entering into greatness. We're entering into something deeper, something greater. And I bear witness to that on Wednesday night as I sat in here with these young guys. I said, God, we're entering into our end right now. You're doing something great right now. You're doing something mighty. I'm looking at this altar flooded with people worshiping God. We're reckless and abandoned. We're entering into our end. And that begins with obedience. And I will make thee a great nation. And I will bless thee. There's favor that's flooding this house right now. There's favor that's flooding this house right now. And I will make your name great. And you're going to be a blessing, Riverside. The blessing of this place is going to impact this community. It's going to infect this community. It's going to change this community. Chillax, there's still a prophet at Riverside. There's still a prophet at Bell Camp. There's still a prophet at Aberdeen. There's still a prophet at Harvey Grace. There's still a prophet in Baltimore and Beemore. Chillax, King. Amen. The people of God are doing it, and the blessing is in the obedience. This is why. He said, why? Why couldn't I do that? Because it takes obedience. Because obedience is your roadmap. Obedience is your GPS. Here's what he said in the very next verse. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? If the prophet had asked you to do something great, something big, And that's what we're looking for, right? Jen, we're looking for something big, something grand, right? Something that acknowledges me and my little insecure self. But what about obedience in the little things? What about obedience in the little things? Yeah, what about obedience in the things that nobody else sees, Pastor JoJo? What about obedience in the minor things? What about obedience in the things that other folks disregard and set aside? What about obedience in the things that don't give you power, prestige, or prominence? What about obedience in those things? Luke chapter 16, verse 10 says this, that he that is faithful in the little. See, obedience, faithfulness is just a lifestyle of obedience. That's all it is. Faithfulness is just a lifestyle of obedience. That's all it is. Faithfulness is just a lifestyle of obedience. And you don't develop that lifestyle up here, baby. You develop that lifestyle in the little things. In the little things. In the little things. In the stuff nobody else sees. In the stuff nobody else cares about. In the stuff nobody else regards. It's faithfulness in the little things. In the little things. I've often said this, the biggest problem with churches is that everybody wants to be center stage, but nobody wants to work behind the scenes. It's in the little things. It's in the things that you may not get any recognition or regard for. It's in the little things. God's looking for people that'll be faithful in the little things. Faithfulness is just a lifestyle of obedience. The blessing is in the obedience. This man will tell you, it's in the little things. It's in the things that he did that nobody saw. It's in the things that he did that no one bear witness to. It's in the things that he did that no one else even regarded. And it's simply because I love God. That's it. I'm going to do the things that please God. But it is the thing that will navigate you to where God wants you to be. It will navigate you to a place of blessing, of greatness, of prominence, of power, of prestige. But it begins with the little things. It said, hey, listen, we know you. If he told you to do something grand and great, you'd do that because it makes you look good. But what about the little things? All he simply said was, go take a bath. That's it. That's all he asked you to do. And the great Naaman, the man of power, of prestige, and prominence, considered that, and he humbled himself. Here's the second reason that he had an attitude with Elijah. First of all, Elijah didn't acknowledge him. The second thing is, Elijah attempted to abase him. That's the second thing. Let the church say humble. Okay, so first, he doesn't want to acknowledge me. Second, he wants to abase me. He wants to humble me. And those are the two things that he could not get with. But in that moment, and I always imagine this sounds like something like a little child would literally say this to him. My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, I just hear a voice of a child speaking to him. And it's in that moment he realizes that it's really not about my station. It's really not about my position. It's really about me getting what I need from God. So I got to set that stuff aside. Yeah, I gotta set that stuff aside. I gotta dip. And the obedience has to go beyond the moment. It can't just be a reaction. We don't want you to get all hyped up and hooped up and you're obeying today, but there's no consistency in your life. We want you to return and do it again. It has to go beyond a reaction. It's gotta go beyond a moment. It's got to go beyond getting hyped up in the moment. You got to return and do it again because it's in the return that you're going to see things being resurrected. It's got to go beyond reaction. It's got to go beyond returns. If you want to see some things changing, you want to see some things loosed in your life, you want to see parts of your life being changed, resurrected, the things about you that you don't like going away, the things about you that you want to change being changed, you got to dip, and you got to be willing to do it again. Understand that it's going to be resistance. It's got to go beyond the reaction. It's got to go beyond the moment. It's got to go beyond the impulse that you're feeling in that second. You got to return and do it again. You got to understand that God's going to be resurrecting some things. And even in those moments, there's going to be resistance. There's going to be resistance. And some of the strongest resistance is going to come from you. It's going to come from you. But as you faithfully obey, you're going to realize that there's restoration taking place on the inside of you. You got to go beyond the reactions. Got to go beyond the moments. Got to go beyond how you're feeling in that moment. It's not about the hype. It's not about how well Angel plays or sings. Don't get caught up in that. Make a commitment to return. Make a commitment to allow God to resurrect some things and to bury some things. Make a commitment to be faithful to it, even beyond the resistance. understanding that God's working a work of restoration. And you got to dip, Tish. You got to dip. You got to dip. Beyond a reaction. Return to it. Allow God to resurrect some things in your life. Push beyond the resistance. Understand that God is bringing about restoration in your life. And then recognize that that sixth dip brings you that recognition that you can't do it on your own. You can't. Dip. The blessing is in the obedience. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6 says this. This is what it's all about. All that dipping is about you getting to a place, Dwayne, where it's no longer you doing it. The blessing is in the obedience. The Bible says that when you enter into his rest, you cease from your work. There's no more dipping required. When you enter into his rest, you cease. You don't have to dip anymore, baby, because you've entered into his rest. You don't have to dip after that seventh time because you've entered into his rest. Get beyond the reaction. Don't get caught up in the moment. Make a commitment to return to it. Be faithful to it. Anybody can be obedient in the moment. God's looking for people that are going to be faithful to it. Understand that there are going to be some things that are going to get resurrected. So some of that stuff staying in the ground. But God's working, he's working things out where he's creating a new you. So push past that resistance and keep going, understanding God's restoring things. And then have a recognition that you can't do this on your own. And when you come up that seventh time, understand that God's bringing you to a place. He's bringing you to the place where he's always wanted you to be, a place where you're resting in him, a place where you're resting in him. It's no longer you. Church, the blessing is in the obedience. It's in the obedience. Left, right. Wave with the people. It's in the obedience. What if the peas and the carrots were just there to help me get to the dessert? What if the dessert was in the peas and the carrots all along? See, the kingdom of God is counterintuitive. I've always been taught that you do this to get that. But what if that was buried inside of this? Lesson is in the obedience. It's in the obedience. We're banging our heads up against the wall. But truly, 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 church, if you trust and obey, because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. If you simply trust and obey, follow the roadmap of obedience. Obedience is leading you to greater things, to higher things, to blessed things. Come on and welcome back with me our pastor, Jason Evans. Amen.
Thank you, Elder George, for that encouraging word that hopefully provokes you. You know, George, I've read that story and preached from that story many times, and I often wondered what would have happened if he stopped after the third dip or the fourth dip or the fifth dip. What if he made it all the way to number six and stopped right there? He never would have got that blessing, never would have got that miracle. I wonder how many of us in this room are at the fifth dip or the sixth dip, and all you have to do is one more time. Reach over and touch your neighbor and tell them just one more time. If you can do it one more time, your miracle is just one obedience away, one dip away. Your miracle, your blessing, and your breakthrough is just doing it one more time. What if today is your one more time? I feel something in this room. What if today is your day? What if this afternoon is your day? What if God marked it down? This day is for you. All you got to do is obey one more time. I know what you're saying. I've already been to the altar one time, two time, three time, four time. What if the fifth time does it? What if it's the sixth time that does it? What if it's the seventh seventh time that does it. I've already had Mama Gail pray for me one time, two time, three time, four time. What if today is the day? What if now is your moment? What if it's now? Come on. Who in this room needs a breakthrough? Who in this room needs a miracle? Who in this room needs to step out on what they heard the preacher preach today? Don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word today. God's looking for some obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You've sacrificed enough. Now today is the day to obey. Come on, if you're looking for a miracle, I dare you, get out of your chair. Get down to this altar. Come on, he needs a worship team up here. Give me a drummer up here. Give me some singers up here. I feel like God's getting ready to release some blessings in this place this morning. Is God's people ready to obey? Are you ready to move? Are you ready to step out? Are you ready to do that thing today? When you walk down here, walk down ready to receive your breakthrough. Walk down here ready to receive your blessing. Walk down here ready to receive your miracle. The preacher preached it today. All you've got to do is obey. Come on, the pastor's commanded. All you got to do is obey. Get to this altar and watch your life turn around and change. There's a blessing in the obedience. Come on, son.
And I've got a river of life flowing out of me. It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. It opens prison doors, sets the captives free. Yeah. never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna,
you're never gonna,
it's not possible,
you're never,
it's not possible, you can never let me down.
You're never gonna,
it's not in your nature, God, not in your nature, God.
Jump in that water now. so good, so good, so faithful. So faithful,
you're good,
you're good,
oh,
so good.
'Cause you're Jesus. Never gonna let, it's never gonna let me down.
Never, never.
'Cause he's never gonna let, he's never gonna let me down.
He'll never leave you nor forsake you.
He's never gonna let, he's never gonna let me down.
He'll never leave you nor forsake you.
'Cause he's never gonna let,
he's never gonna let me down.
Oh, you're never gonna,
you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down.
Not in my nature, God.
You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down, Lord. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down.
You are good.
Oh, you're good.
You're good.
So good.
No, jump in that water now.
Let it rain.
locked up, let it open.
No kingdom stand still, let it move. Our faith, our trust, our hope, our great God. Oh,
no heaven locked up, let it open.
Let it open.
No kingdom stand still, let it move.
Let it move.
Our faith, our trust, our hope,
our great God.
Heaven locked up,
let it open.
Hey,
no kingdom stand still, let it move.
We're gonna lay
our faith, our trust, our hope.
Our great God,
our great
God.
Sing it, baby.
Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven.
Let it rain.